Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Personal Finance with Dr. Charles Ross. I am always excited about talking to entrepreneurs, business folks, but I'm especially excited to talk to this next young lady. She is Erica Williams. She's a businesswoman excelling in the trucking industry. She owns 12 semi-trucks, 9-plus properties. She's a popular 6-figure YouTuber. She's an author also based out of Austin, Texas, and specializes in lead generation, entrepreneurship, and passive income. She's also the creator of the Classy Climb School, which includes courses on mentorship, consulting for aspiring entrepreneurs, executives, and freelancers. She helps people specializing in creating multiple streams of income, growing your business, and ultimately cultivating work from a anywhere type of lifestyle, which is, my kind of business to have. So I want you to welcome, Erica Williams to the broadcast. Hello, and I guess it's good afternoon. It's good morning there in Austin, Texas, but it's good afternoon here in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you doing, Erica?
Well, thank you for having me on. It is a little bit of a good morning here. It's about 11 here in Austin, Texas.
Okay, awesome. So you have an interesting background. You went to college at East Carolina University for 5 years, and you started a coffee shop called Sunset Coffee. And so take us through the path. I don't want to, preclude you sharing how you got to where you are, but explain the path that you took to get to where you are right now.
For sure. One of the first things I would love to say is that my first job was my cousin's dollar store. And this wasn't like a franchise. This was him back in this is way long time ago at this point. He had a catalog from China, ordered the pieces and parts. It came to the store. We put shelves in the store. We decorated the store. And that was my first job as a 14-year-old. And something about that process let me know anything is possible, right? We had already kind of came from a family of entrepreneur people. My grandpa owned a jute joint and a farm in North Carolina back in the day. And so when people are like, where did you get this from? I'm like, I just am lucky enough to be in a family where, a lot of them serve in the military, a lot of them police officers, but they also have the entrepreneur kind of streak to them.
Wow. And it's interesting that you mentioned that, is because that's kind of was my path. When I was growing up, my father owned 2 dry cleaners, and I worked in there as a, I wasn't even a teenager, where I was checking in clothes and, running the cash register and all that kind of stuff, doing odd things around the store. So, I never really envisioned that I would end up just working for somebody else all my life. I always had the thought that eventually that I would, be my own boss, and I did end up doing that. And so, it's important to have models. So you're saying that the model that you said was your uncle that was that had the store?
It was actually my cousin.
Your cousin. Okay, so, the cousin has a store.
Yeah,
so you had a great role model in that respect.
For sure.
Helped you with that. So then you go on and you go to college and you start this coffee shop. Where'd you get the money to do that? I mean, a retail is just expensive, rent and employees and all that. So how did you accumulate you go to college and were you majoring in business or something else?
So I did major in business. I minored in sociology, but I always tell people, like, I was a part of a entrepreneurship when it first came out at ECU. They had an entrepreneurship minor, and things don't cost as much as we think they do. We think things are super expensive, and they're actually less than what we think. And so I ended up going on Craigslist and finding a coffee machine out of all places in Fayetteville, right? Like a really serious espresso machine. Did payment plans with the lady. I found all the chairs and equipment online. I found the artwork when I went to visit my mom in Alabama. She was down there helping on a military base. I just found all this collection of pieces and put it together. What really was funny, because at first I had nothing in there, and people would be like, when are you getting tables and chairs in here? To start a business is way cheaper than people think. I think people want it to be perfect when they start, and that's what messes the people up.
And what I heard is that I heard a quote that reminds me of what you just said. It says, get your business started, perfect it later on. You know, you know,
yeah.
Get started doing what you want to do, and you can fine-tune it as you go along, because sometimes, you know, even if you wait till it's perfect, you'll probably never stop. Start. In other words, the perfect time, have the perfect amount of money, you know, and so forth and so on. But if you have a passion for it, you know, get it started. So you started the coffee shop, and you closed mm-hmm. it. What happened? I mean, did you move because you had to close it because you moved to Austin, or what happened in that process?
So the city of Fayetteville had started doing this. They had got this lot of money from the government, kind of redo Bragg Boulevard as it goes into Fayetteville downtown, and you can go there now in Fayetteville and even see the massive changes with bridges. And so they were tearing up the highway across from this historically black college called Fayetteville State University. So it wasn't just my business that kind of went under because the kids couldn't freely and safely walk across the street. It was several businesses went under.
Wow.
It was quite interesting to see how the slow of traffic, the flow of kids messes you up.
Wow. And so you go from there, and 3 years later, you find yourself in Austin, Texas. Why Austin, Texas? That's like all the way in the Midwest. Why did you move so far away?
So I ended up going on a weekend with the girls to Austin, Texas for spring break years ago, like many years before that. And I thought, man, I'm coming back to this place. Because all we did was party on Sixth Street. We really didn't get to see the rest of Texas. And everybody thought, oh, that's, you know, silly. You're not coming back here, right? And I feel like I spoke it into existence. So I was getting ready to get married to someone. We canceled the wedding, and I flipped a coin. No lie, this is a real story. I had a quarter in my hand as I'm getting rid of all my stuff. And I flipped a coin. I said, I'm either going to go to Nashville, Tennessee, or I'm going to go to Austin, Texas. And the reason behind it was I knew if I stayed in North Carolina or an hour away from my family or 2 hours away from my family, I wouldn't force myself to have a strong, like, growth moment. And I felt like I needed it. I felt like I was very sheltered and could kind of half not work. When my grandmother and my father died within 6 months of each other, I was left a little bit of inheritance, but mostly just because our family knew so many people, I could just get a job and kind of half work and be okay because I could go stay at one of our family's rental properties, right? And I knew that wasn't enough for me. I knew I needed growth. And so my family kind of was like, hey, if you leave all the way to Texas, you're on your own. You're out there. Good luck, right?
Oh, wow. Oh,
and
I just left like, hey, that's
it. For them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
it was the best thing they could have ever done.
So you end up in Austin, Texas, sleeping in a motel,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
From what I hear. And you're applying for all kind of jobs, and so it took over, 2 months of sleeping in the hotel and bouncing around? And this is 2012, 2014. You read over 100 business books over in 2 years?
Yeah. So I basically get there, and I start in Killeen for 6 months, and I work for this sales company. And I have this card that, you know, gave us discounts at hotels and all this good stuff. And when I wanted to leave the company, not only did they cut that card, my other personal credit card got cut. So I get to Austin, no job. I literally go, all right, I'm going to be at this hotel. But what was crazy, within 3 days, I had a job. I immediately had a job. There were just job offers all over the place, and that was just me lightly looking. I end up going to this really great church, and if you ever heard my story, like, I end up going to this great church. I don't even know how I found it. And I go there, and, like, people are offering me, like, the 2 weeks I'm even there, hey, I have this job for $70,000 down the street. You should totally come to my office. You should totally come do an interview. I mean, it was an amazing opportunity to show how the power of people just – you, your personality, and your willingness to work. People always want to go out of their way to help you.
Wow. You said where did you get these leads from? You went where? I didn't hear that.
I literally, like, within 2 or 3 days, I just started applying. Like, I was just driving around Austin, and there were literally four hiring signs on buildings the size of, like, posters. Like, they needed people that bad in most places. And so when people talk about, oh, I moved to Austin, I had a hard time, I'm like, I'm meeting engineers who move here with no job. and get a job within 2 weeks. I'm meeting people with no skill move here and within 2 weeks get a job. So it's one of those things of like, where are you looking and how are you pushing yourself?
Now, is Austin the home of University of Texas? What's in Austin?
University of Texas, but also the historically black college, Houston Tillotson, right down the street from Austin, Texas, ET. They have a ton of things here as far as water, aquifers, you know, Dale, the growth of Dale was in Round Rock further up in the suburbs, but a lot is here. A lot of tech companies are here. People are kind of surprised when they get here because it's so green, it's so full of parks, and it's so much water. They just think Texas looks like Fort Hood or looks like, you know, the Wild Wild West.
So now you read over 2 years period of time from 2012, 2014, mm-hmm. you read over 100 books. You know, I'm not going to ask you to list all the books, but what are the ones that when I said that, what book came to mind that made a really a big difference? Like if I had to recommend 3 or 4 books, these are the books I would recommend to people if they're trying to do entrepreneurship. Do you recall any of those?
For sure. So what's crazy, I have about 400 books in storage at my mother's house. We had an aunt that worked at a library, so we all became very avid readers in our family. I would say off the top of my head, the best ones I would say is The 4-Hour Workweek. Read it a couple times to get the concept. I would say Cash Flow Quadrant. Not Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad, but Cash Flow Quadrant. When I read Cash Flow Quadrant, it just like completely made a difference for me and made me understand that, listen, your family or your friends, whatever they're doing in life successfully, that is the level of answers they can give you, right? If all my family's military and all the cousins go through the military and they have a VA loan and they get a rental and they're like, look at me, look what I'm doing, that's the best answer they can give you. If you're doing something unknown, uncharted, or what they would feel is unsecure or, outside that range of security, they can't give you an answer. So it was a very pivotal book for me, and I need people to read that one more than anything else, right? There were several books. Gosh, there was a great book. It's not business, but it's religious a little bit. It's called Rooted, The Places Where God Grows You. And what happens is so many people move to Texas or move to whatever city, and they're 1 foot in this state, and then their foot's half back home. And I was doing that for a while here in Austin, like, oh, if I have a surgery or something happened, I'd go home for a month or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, big, big sections of time. And what I realized is, like, when I fully commit to this city, opportunities just spilled over.
What's the name of the book again?
But it was,
what's the name?
It's called Rooted. I think it's called The Places Where God Grows You. I've listened to it on Audible about, like, 7 times. And I just find it that when you make a commitment and kind of throw your full weight into something, that's when doors really open for you.
So you say Root, R-O-O-T.
Mm-hmm. Rooted.
Rooted. Okay. I'm writing these down for my listeners and for myself because I own personally about 1,000 books, and I have about 300 or 400 more on my Kindle. So we're kindred spirits, and that's it. I love to read. If I could spend all day reading, I would, you know, but obviously, you know, just like you, I've got, you know, multiple streams of income as well. And so I've been, you said something that's very important. You said that when you talk to people and ask for advice, they can only give you advice from where they are. So if they're working for a job and never been in business, don't ask them for business advice because they can't give you that.
Exactly.
You know,
they can't give you, and
the thing about it is, I'm sure you found this out, Erica, sometimes they'll rain on your parade because they don't want you to surpass what they're doing. So if they got a job, they want you to be like them. And I'm sure that you may have had to cut some friends loose as you started growing your business and expanding
people
hang
cut
with you.
Loose.
Yeah, they'll cut themselves loose, but sometimes you got to kill them because they're trying to. Why are you doing that? You're doing too much. You ain't got time to hang out with us anymore. You know, all that kind of stuff. When you're like, hey, I'm trying to get paid. I'm trying to be financially independent so I can have time to do whatever I want when I want, it, no matter how much it costs. You know, those kind of things. So you work in 2, sometimes 3 jobs. And so you finally you said you signed up for coaching, physical and financial. Explain that a little bit.
Yes. Now, I want to say another book that was really powerful in 2012 was The $100 Startup. And there's a whole reason to it, and we'll talk about it later. But The $100 Startup and The iPhone Millionaire. I had wanted to write a book called, like, The Smartphone Millionaire. And before I did, this book came out first, right? That and the Pumpkin Plan. Right? These I have to share these books because they were such grabbers for me at the time. Like, they really shaped what you're seeing now. So I want people to understand that.
That's good. Thank you so much.
But for sure, for sure. So what ended up happening is every step of the way, when you where you are right now is the combination of a decision you made 10 years ago and what your best thinking is now. So the where you are, if you're stuck or you're unhappy or something's not working, this is the result of your best thinking. And so no one wants to feel like, oh, man, I can't think my way out of this. But that's where coaching and mentorship comes in. Every step of the way, I've allowed people to speak into my life that were ahead of me in some aspect, right? There's a concept my grandma used to say, eat the meat, spit out the bone. If somebody tells you something useful, take that part. If they tell you something that's not useful, just toss it. Like, don't let yourself be so upset about something someone's saying, right?
That's great stuff.
And what
that's
it allowed me to do. Yeah. What
you
it
know,
allowed
I
me to do is just start adding.
Adding things to your day. There's a book called The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. And he's deceased now. He was a professor at Georgia State. And when I started my, you know, 20-something years ago, I had a syndicated radio show on 100 stations. And but it started out as a TV program on what was then back in the 80s, cable television. And I had him as a guest on my show. And after the show, he comes to me and says, he just looked at me. He's a white guy, older white guy, right? He says, you're going to do big things, Charles Ross. And I looked at him like, how do you know that? You don't know me. He said, and I didn't say that, but that's what I'm thinking in my head. But he was right, you know, because he spoke something. And I read his book and just, you know, The Magic of Thinking Big. It's a great book. It's a classic in the sales area. Magic of Thinking Big. His son now is a professor at Georgia State. But anyway, so I understand that whole part about people speaking into your life and trying to be around people who are successful. So now, you go through this coaching and this physical and all this kind of stuff, and so in 3 months, 90 days, you start 15 different streams of income, 3 online businesses, and you became a real estate agent and investor. 15.
Yep.
These streams of income? Wow.
There's a great book called The Alternative Investor, and I had realized I was already doing some of the things in that book. And so, you know, always, I mean, they're just small things that lead to big things. You know, I had at one point 600 notes in Lending Club. I had a lot of little investments, and I just realized, like, all these things feed you, like trickles, you know, trickles of income. And the online businesses grow when you're sleeping at night. So it was just one of these things where it started out me just slowly pouring and pouring to the point it was overflowing. But, yeah.
Now, do you still have all those different streams of income?
Oh, for sure. I have more now. So,
oh, really?
Like, I am a big believer. I went to this guy's mastermind, and I can't think of his off the top of my head what his name is. Because really it was about the group and not him. And it was this thing of 100 partnerships. He said, you know, the reason he was there is because he had 100 partnerships with people. And every one of those little partnerships fed him to this day. And what I got out of that is, you know, you have your one big bucket. And that one big bucket spills over. So it can either spill over into wants and goof off and travel and silliness. Or you can kind of slowly make it trickle into other things that keep paying you. And so at the time when people were saying, oh my God, you know, you had a surgery, you couldn't work for 2 months. And it was like, yeah, because I used all my part-time income from my pizza delivery job into these smaller investments. And so when it was time to sit down, I could sit down.
Wow. You know, so I'm looking at your bio and you have some businesses, Blue Creek Honey, the Classy Climb courses, SW Investments, Real Estate Investments, Sons of Coffee is closed. So outside of those, are those your more popular online or streams of income? Because, or do you have others that I haven't mentioned here?
So I always write it out on the board. I go coaching, consulting, courses, ebooks, partnerships, you know, JV deals. Land deals, all those things are, I consider them individual streams of income. Different things do different things, right? As far as online, there was a period of 3 years where me and my friend had a painting company. And it's so when I was working in apartments, I learned this guy. We had told the apartment complex, like, listen, just hire a painter for $50,000 a year, give him some benefits, and he'll paint all day and all night. They were like, that's silly. We're going to do outsourcing. Well, they start outsourcing, and all of a sudden, over 172 people moved out of this complex over the summer, and it just threw their budget out of whack. So this painter, instead of doing what we asked him to do, this painter made $300,000 for being outsourced. And he was a couple years older than me. I was a billings manager, so I was able to look at, you know, income, what he was charging, the invoices, and literally called my friend up and I said, look, we're going to start a painting company, dude. We're going to go get some online leads, and I'm going to be at home, and I'm going to set phone calls and take payments over the phone. And you're going to go out if you need to and check their work and stuff like that. And it worked perfectly.
It's interesting because a friend of mine was telling me, he says, a lot of the businessmen are in the, he calls the artisans, like plumbing, electrical work, painting, contracting. They're good at what they do, but they're not good business people, you know? So they don't know how to schedule jobs, go, you know, and quote jobs, be on time, you know, manage, you know, their time and things like that. So you hit on something that's always said, hey, you know, because I've worked with contractors in my real estate and personal life, and they're just notorious for not being good business folks. So, for example, I'll give you a little quick story. So let me give you a quick story. So a guy comes out to do some work on my wife and I's house, right? Now, I say, okay, you know, quote the job. So he quotes the job. I write it down. I'm going to give you a number. Let's say it was $1,000, right? Okay, so we weren't ready right then because we had the other stuff to do. And so we come back to him about a month or so later and say, okay, we're ready to get it done. So he comes out. He brought another person with him to help. He finishes the job. So he's ready to get paid. I get out my checkbook, and I'm writing out the check. And I'm showing him in my notebook where he had quoted, he had signed it, and he's looking at me like, holy crap, he kept the quote. Guy said, you did exactly what we asked you to do, and I gave him the check, and he was like, I know he was saying, I was going to charge him more because I didn't think he wrote it down. So that's an example, because he didn't have a quote book. He didn't quote, he didn't write anything down, you know. And so that's a story of when, once again, these artists, contractors, electricians, plumbers, and stuff who are independent. I'm not saying they work for a corporation or a company, but they're independent.
Yeah.
And do their own. They're not very good businessmen in terms of selling and then doing the business part. So you hit on a great, 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 great idea. So now you got all these streams of income.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the ones that I'm interested in because I'm a real estate investor, is the real estate stuff. So tell me what you're doing in real estate. What are you doing in real estate? You're buying a commercial, residential, mobile homes, what?
So right now we are, I've bought with partners. I've bought several properties in Detroit. I bought a duplex in Cleveland. I even have one of my YouTubers who loves the show up in Cleveland right now walking that property, taking pictures for me. Right now in Texas, I have a really big project I'm working on. I'll just call it Texas Ground Zero for the time being. It's 18 acres total. But the 3 acres in the front are a truck repair shop, and the 15 acres in the back are just land, right? So what I'm going to be doing is converting it to truck parking because there's such a need and such a shortage. And then the front will have food truck, and also probably build like a little small hotel on one side of the acreage. The reason why is the government right now is providing millions of dollars to truck parking because, you know, trucks parking on the side of the highway is dangerous. Trucks just parking at gas stations is dangerous. They're trying to alleviate some of that just rando parking and you know, HOAs aren't letting you park trucks in neighborhoods. So, you know, you got these guys making lots of money a year, but then they can't even park their truck where they live. They're just trying to clean the streets up of these trucks just being parked everywhere because, you know, when you have an unorganized parking, that leads to crime, right? Opportunity crime where people just are driving by and they steal the diesel out of their truck where they're driving by and the truck's unlocked, so they open the door and they steal stuff out of it. I mean, things like that happen. And so that's my biggest project this year is buying a business from owners who are in their 60s, and this is kind of their retirement plan, right? I'm doing owner financing. It's a $2.5 million project. But honestly, the business makes a million, unorganized, unchaotic, because they're artisans. They're technicians. And a great book for this is The E-Myth Revisited. And for me, just being able to focus in the next couple months in Texas, getting, you know, acres two or here or 2 acres over there and turning them into either, you know, some trailer parks, some mobile home parks, or, you know, putting, if I could get RV parking, that'd be great. But Texas in my area has been cracking down on the RV parking.
Okay.
Build a couple duplexes. So it's a couple different projects I have working, but that's kind of the just for 2020 is mostly the Texas Ground Zero project.
Texas Ground Zero. You mentioned something, mobile homes, and you mentioned something else too, the trucking parking lots. I live in Atlanta, and there's, I don't know if you're familiar with Atlanta, but there are. Yeah, you're familiar with Atlanta? Okay.
Yeah, I know. There's a millionaire over there with a truck parking. Everybody thinks the black guy owns it, but it's a white guy.
Oh, really? Because there's like 5 minutes from my house, we get on a 124 and a street road. But there's these trucking signs, and all you see is they have the name of the company. They have a phone number or something, an app or something to call. And so, of course, me being a real estate agent, I said, let me check out this company. Found out that this company has not only the truck parking lot there, but they have them in like 4 or 5 different states, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a concept. I mean, Erica, they don't do nothing, and you probably understand this. I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here, but they don't even pave it. They just have gravel and a fence that goes around.
Yeah.
That's it. And then they have maybe – and, of course, I'm assuming there's a little – trailer for, you know, someone to come and, you know, make sure they lock the gate and stuff, but I think the gate opens automatically when you put in a code or something. But I'm like, wow. And they charge, I don't forget how much they charge a day or whatever, but when you think about it, you know, there are not a lot of places, you know, because I know if you get on this freeway, I know here in Atlanta it's a major thoroughfare for logistics, you see trucks all the time, and you got to figure out that, hey, they've got to park somewhere when it's time for them to pull over, because I have a friend that had a truck, and I think they can't travel for so many hours. They got to park because they get stopped at one of those checkpoints. They look at their log and say, okay, you got to pull over because they don't want truckers on the road that are half asleep or whatever. But that's another great, 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 great concept that you're taking in terms of what you're doing. So you've got the trucking thing. Now you've got Blue Creek Honey. Tell us about Blue Creek Honey. What's that all about? Well, first of all, let me talk to the real estate for a second. So what I heard is that you're financing a lot of these properties through owner financing, or you're getting partners to join you in ventures like this. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, all right.
Somebody who watched me off YouTube essentially found this deal for me and talked me up to him for a year. So by the time I walked over there, they were like, yeah, we heard you're ready to buy. And I was like, what's going on? I've been very blessed that people looked out for me. So Blue Creek Honey is not totally active right now. Right now I'm trying to find another piece of land out here in Texas instead of North Carolina to actually have honeybees and set up another location. But essentially what piqued my interest about honey in that time frame is eventually I had wanted to own a winery. And I would love to own one here in Texas. We'll see if that happens. But I saw some for sale in North Carolina. Anything's possible, right?
Right.
And I wanted it to be in conjunction with that. And so that was always a foot in the door to the bigger thing, which would have been a partnership with someone in agriculture and also a winery. It's something I'm looking forward to probably 2-3 years from now. Right now everybody thinks everything's a hot fire sale, but I think the hot fire sale will come next year.
Right. With the pandemic, there's a lot of retailers that are going to go, and companies and organizations are going to go under because of, you know, the social distancing and obviously folks having to do remote working and, of course, you know, distance learning for in public schools. So that's a big concern. That sounds like, do you have, you know, before we move on to some of the other things you're doing, because I want to talk about your YouTube thing. I mean, is there a strategy in terms of the type of businesses you're going after? Is it I'm not going to presume what that is. I think I do know, but what type of businesses are you attracted to? I guess maybe that's the best way to phrase that question.
Really, it's businesses that you can add value to.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry, I had a little noise in the background.
Okay.
It's businesses you can add value to. Prime example, these guys – that I'm currently buying from, you know, they made a million but every time they pick up the phone, they send people away, they say they're busy, they, you know, every ideal I've ever had for that place, they're like, oh, we thought of it and we never did it, right? Because again, you're talking about technicians and not not business owners.
Right.
The businesses I'm looking for are businesses I can add value to, or I see space in them to do more. A big thing for me right now is a lot of farms, smaller farms, are like completely sold out here in Austin, Texas. Why? People with means, with Austin as a city of people with means, and soon we'll have a lot more tech people here. Every day, every year, we have 1,000-some-odd people moving to Texas in general. Those farms that utilize Instagram, utilize that social media push, kind of like healthy, you know, take care of your kids, give your kids good fruits and vegetables, are thriving, you know, even the ones with meat, right? Because even though we're seeing disruption in the grocery stores, a person with means, a family making over $150,000 a year, $180,000 a year, they can afford to maybe split with some friends of same kind of level a whole cow or a whole, you know, a whole pig or veggies, buying veggies by the acre. And it's a lot of different, I see for the next 5 to 10 years, kind of this a la carte farming, where, you know, community supported agriculture was super popular in 2000, but it's going to be even more popular coming up because certain people are like, hey, I'm going to want quality meat and I'm going to want to know where my meat comes from, and I don't want it with a bunch of steroids. You know, it's a big push, is something I want to do. So I'm trying to find farmers who are in areas where this could work well. And I have some lists, yeah, I got some leads, but we're working it down. But, you know, I would love to connect with someone on a bison farm. Promote that. I'd love to connect with someone who is doing a lot of healthy fruits and vegetables, and just kind of bring them the internet aspect. I mean, right now I buy soup and bone broth from a farm in California, and their big plight is, hey, we're just trying to survive. We're trying to survive out here in California with California prices and give healthy food.
So you're focusing on more on a real estate side that also may have a component as far as a business. So a farm, that's real estate, obviously, and then the business mm-hmm. would be the fruits and vegetables or whatever, or poultry.
And Instagram.
The
Instagram is a big part of it. Yeah, here's the thing. The big part of it is when people can visit the farm. Right here in Austin, they have one guy, he's a veteran. He has Kobe Beef. And he started it because he had PTSD, and like the government gave him a certain number of subsidies for it. And so he starts it, and he lets a certain number of veterans come out and work on the cows every month, right? He has people come out and see the cows, right? So there's a farm family, I'd say 45 minutes south of Austin. People come there only on Saturday and Sunday. They have a little shed that's a shop, and they buy out everything. When you go to farmers markets here in Austin, when they were open, farmers, you could order what you wanted and meet them at the farmer's market, come pick up your already slaughtered meat and go home. So there's this very local effort that I see happening over the next 5 to 10 years. I've been to many conferences and studied on this, that the upper 20% of our society is going to get fresh fruits and vegetables. They're going to go visit farms. They're going to take their Instagram pictures with the chickens, and they're going to live well, and their children are going to eat well, because they're going to have that direct farming access.
That's awesome. Now, you have also the Classy Climb courses. Tell us about that. What is that about?
Mm-hmm. So I would be doing videos, and I would be explaining things I'm working on or businesses I was growing, and people were like, well, just sell it to us in a course, right? So I finally would just put things together as time moved on to help people out, really. I would shape courses that, as far as tax liens, right? I showed them, you know, how to do tax liens in different states and online. And reason online is no one can tell you know how you look because you're online. Online money at the end of the day makes a difference. I put together the Middleman to Millions course. It was talking about how we ran our painting company and eventually went over to fencing, and how I did a lot of it from just in my apartment, right? My friends used to joke, all you do is make YouTube videos and take payments at your apartment. And I was like, for a while, yes, that was true. It really was. And so a lot of things I'm doing, I don't mind sharing, right? Because I know, here's the thing, if something takes longer than 3 months to do, the average person won't do it. Hence, that's why I have a personal trainer, because he'll make me do the workouts that are hard. Hence, I have an accounting company because they'll make me be accountable. They're a third arm to, like, forcing me to be more a better businesswoman. because I'm more of a visionary than a business person. Same thing with the indoor. I have a person who's like almost an accountant light coming on the staff here, and they're running different software because without those numbers, that's the difference. That's what makes the middleman business approach, what I'm doing, work, is we have to know our numbers. And 9 times out of 10, you walk up on a business, they don't even know what they have as inventory. They don't even know what their projections are for the week. They have no clue. Like, I can tell people every summer, like clockwork, you know, your kids are going to eat up all the food in your house because school's out, and people's sales go lower, and also ads stop running in the summer. So what do? You do the opposite. You run more ads in the summer because people are still watching. And every year, like clockwork, I see the same articles. Like right here now, everybody's like, oh, all these $56 billion left Facebook for the left because of Mark Zuckerberg. And it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with it's summertime, and cyclically, kids would be out of school, eating up all the parents' money, and there'd be no extra money for the parents to spend. And like clockwork, when it becomes September 1st, I would make a bunch of sales because kids were back in school.
Mm, okay.
And the school was alleviating that parent's things. And so for me, to make businesses work is you have to know the numbers. And also when you buy a business, you're almost starting from scratch. You're basically saying, hey, this is what I think it's worth, starting at zero right now.
So you say that you're a visionary versus a business person. Explain what you mean by that.
So there's a great book called Rocket Fuel, and it talks about no one person is both or solely both. You have an integrator and you have a visionary. A visionary is somebody who sees the big picture. And I always say, when I would argue with my mom, I go, I see the donut, you see the donut hole, right? And so integrator is the manager. And every business I've ever run, I've noticed I needed a manager because I would go, hey, this is what I want to do. And I'd have these giant big ideals. And every time people would be like, well, that's a really big ideal. Let me break it down for you in segments and parts of how we can get it done. And every time I've always heard that in everything I've ever started. So I know, and just several tests I've taken, I'm more on like, I can see the big picture. Same thing with the property I'm buying. I walked in the place and had a piece of paper in my hand and wrote out every single thing I know needed to be changed. Right? I just knew. Like, I already had it written down, and every time I would talk to them, they're like, oh, we thought of that. We thought of that. We thought of that. But they never enacted any of it. Right? Because it was just a thought. For me, this is the way. This will be the way that this place changes, right?
And one of the things that you said visionary. And when you said that, you know, I thought about Ted Turner. And when I came out of college, probably before you was born in 1979, Ted Turner was starting CNN. And my undergraduate degree is in radio, TV, film. And a lot of my classmates went to work for him making peanuts. But a lot of them stuck with it, and now they're doing very, very well. But Ted Turner was a visionary. He didn't know anything about broadcasting. He has had one little station, and he decided that, hey, I want to have this station that's available all across the world, which, when you think about it, was unheard of back then. I mean, you had networks, but they weren't broadcasting all over the world. He had a news organization all over the world. So it was interesting, you know, when you say visionary, he's a visionary. He's not necessarily a technician. And then he has to find people, and I'm assuming that's what you're doing. You have to find people to help you fulfill that vision. To give you another example, I had a young lady on that I interviewed a couple of weeks ago. She had a black sunscreen product. She's a visionary. She has no background in chemistry. She has an MBA, but she knew nothing about chemistry. She just saw a need and decided to fill it. Long story short, I heard a week ago, saw a news article where she just got $1 million investment in her black sunscreen product. So being a visionary, you're very important. Some people are managers. You call them integrators, but they're managers. They could do the day-to-day stuff, mm-hmm. but they can't see the big picture about, you know, where they're trying to go and how all these pieces, fit together. So it's a good thing that you make that distinction, because some people who are managers will never be a visionary, even though they want to be, or they'll never be a business owner because they just want to, you know, count the donuts and make sure all the donuts are there and they're manufactured right and they're shipped. But I think most business people, I think to some extent, you are. I see you being a business person that is visionary, and that's unique. in terms of your perspective. So now this YouTube thing you're doing, okay? Tell us about the YouTube. You said you're getting leads off of that. So tell us about your YouTube, and I'd also want to talk about your blog that you do. You have so how did you get started with the YouTube? What was your desire there?
Just sharing my journey, mostly sharing my journey. People would ask me or couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my God, that's a crazy story. And I would just be telling them a story, and they'd be like, I've never heard of that before. And even though in my mind I would go, this is everyday normal life to me, what I realized is the internet was giving people this opportunity to access other people's lives, right? Like they were witnessing other people's lives. And that's where this whole, you know, even if I make a joke of like the frat boy living or frat boy businesses, I'm going to travel the world. The 4-Hour Workweek was the first book to really start telling you, hey, you can go out here and live so cheap in other countries.
Okay.
And for me, YouTube became this thing of, I know video is the future. And all $1.9 million I got to all the assets I manage now came out of YouTube. Whether it's courses, sales, consulting, actual people investing with me, it all came out of YouTube. So I can't even, like, I keep trying to tell people the power of YouTube. 98 or 99% of people are terrified of speaking in public. And most of the YouTubers you meet are introverts. And when they go out in public, they're still terrified, right? And so I just used to my advantage what was very good for me, which is talking. You know, my grandparents would be like, be quiet in the house. And that was just my, you know, that was my range and my ability is speaking, talking to people, conveying stories. And I just really, truly believe in partnership because a lot of people have money sitting on the sidelines and they just don't have the time, energy, or know-how how to invest in different projects.
And that's so true because, you know, my wife and I are real estate investors and we decided, you know, Atlanta is extremely competitive. And, you know, we found a couple of markets where, believe it or not, we can buy property for under $35,000. 3-bedroom, 2-bath. And Atlanta, that property would sell for like $150,000. In these markets that we're in
Augusta,
they sell for $30,000-$35,000, okay? And I could buy those properties with 15% down, okay? And I can rent them out for $600-$700 a month, okay? And so these type people, when I tell them that, they don't believe. I said, what does a $30,000 or $35,000 property look like? I said, it looks just like the properties in Atlanta. It's just that for some reason in these markets, it's three or four markets that I'm looking at. One we're investing in, the other three are coming up. Is that it's just because of the dynamics and the demographics and the job prospects down there. People can't afford more than $600 or $700 a month rent. Whereas in Atlanta, a 3-bedroom, 2-house will rent for anywhere from $1,100 to $1,300. And so it's extreme. And we're getting 15-20% on our money. I mean, where can you get that kind of return? You can't get it at the bank. Put it in a CD, you're lucky to get 1%. Yeah, you know. But that's what the bank does with their money. They invest in real estate. They invest in mortgages and things like that. So what is your YouTube channel called? So I can share that with our listeners. What is the YouTube channel called?
The best way to Google and find me is Erica Williams, Classy Client.
Okay. Erica Williams. Got it. Got it. And your videos are just you're sharing about your story, about like what we're talking about right now, about what you're doing.
Yeah, basically. Pretty much documenting the journey and giving my feedback on what I see in trends and loops. I made a class called The Rise of the 20% recently, and it was because all my friends who were making good money were in tech or were in business. It's business as usual right now. It's people who are underneath that level of income and you know business ownership that are really taking a hard hit. And I go, look, there's going to be a lot of people rise up to that 20% mark just out of decision they're making right now. Right, because if you make the decision to completely conserve, shut your store down, we're all gonna just hunker down. You will not be back in business in 6 months. In 6 months, you will not be able to open. Think about it. Restaurants, you're gonna have to order all new food. The level of cleaning, the level of bringing everything back. A lot of people will not be able to reopen. Right, and a lot of people can't pivot. And this is the perfect time to pivot. Right now, I'm in Austin, Texas, and I went and looked at 49 homes. They all had studies in them, right? So no matter if they're big or small or on the golf course or not, they all had studies. So this is a long-term projection for wealthier people they're going to work from home for a long time, but they're a population set of people that are going to have to come out of their house. They're going to have to work, and they're going to have to 10x work when they get back out because they shut down. So many places shut down. So, again, if you – there's a great article talking about black middle-class kids who, you know, they're black middle-class kids, but then they usually fall into poverty. Well, their parents spent so much time running uphill, by the time it came for time for the kids are just rolling downhill. And it's the same thing with the economy as I see it. I think a lot of people aren't remembering what it took to open a business or market a business, and so therefore they're going to get behind, unfortunately.
So do you have employees? How many employees do you have, or do you have any?
I have 2 employees in the VAs. I have 12 employees in office. I have a young lady that does on Instagram. I have a young person coming in for YouTube. I have 2 video camera guys. I have, and you'll see a lot of different content in the fall for that. And then I have a logistics manager for the trucking company. I have 2 dispatchers. I have an on-staff mechanic. Across the other business I have a general manager coming on for the Texas Ground Zero project in my second office. I'll also have over there eventually a person who does a lot of the phone calls for the land purchases I'm trying to make. So basically a wholesaler. I'll hire a kid to do dry, cold calling.
Okay.
So I have a lot of
and so when do so when do you sleep?
Oh, all the time. Listen, they'll tell you. So here's the thing. This is the thing. People assume that I stay up all night and day and hustle all night and day and hard, and it's really not. It's just the power of – there's a great book called Gary Keller, The Power of One Thing. Everyone you add in your staff is doubling your work. So my VAs are doing hundreds, if not 200 to 300 emails a day. The young lady in the office is talking to about 50 to 100 people a day. My staff are talking to all the truckers. I don't talk to truckers. If something's going on, if a trucker's talking to me on the phone, there's a real problem. That means something has happened in the chain of command that they need me, right? I have a thing. I turn my do not disturb on my phone at 9 o'clock, and it doesn't turn back off till 9:30 in the morning. So I schedule, and one day I'll do a whole segment on this. I hyper schedule that time. Like, I schedule my personal trainer to come in from 10:30 to 11:45. And 2 days a week. So I'm literally at my business. I'm out in front of my business working out in the parking lot with my trainer. And I want people to understand, in order for you to have a balanced, structured system, you have to let go, right? You have to let go. Like, you are the bottleneck of your business in every sense of the word. If you don't – the first thing first, if you're a business owner right now, I want you to take out a sheet of paper. I want you to write down everything you do from the morning you start to when you go to bed. And then you look at that list, really look at it. If your arm got broke tomorrow, you got hit by a car and you're in the hospital, can someone else come in and do that list? 80% of way is what you do, okay? And if so, then that's when you need to create a job and let go of some of that stuff, because that lets you pull yourself out of the business and look outside of it. So every day I'm trying to fulfill people in positions so that I am outside of the business and growing it for the future. So right now, I forgot to tell you, I even have a girl working on staff who all she does is look for government contracts right now. So do I have time to read 50, 40 pages of what the government's asking for a piece of a contract? No. But I hired somebody to do that at $70 an hour, and they can go and read all those pages, and they can go be very proficient, and I can put them through training and make them do that work.
Well, you obviously have mastered the delegation part of being business, because I'm assuming that you spend some time just thinking. And I think that, you know, I've talked with other successful business people, and they said you have to schedule time where you do nothing but think, because sometimes you get those ideas. Now, some people call it their quiet time, you know, their time with the Lord. Other people just say, I have time, I schedule time where it's just me. I don't have anybody around me so I can think, so you can get ideas and, you know, just be able to think about the things that you're trying to do. Because I one of the mantras that I've had is that during this pandemic, if you don't come out of this pandemic with a new skill, some more knowledge or side hustle, then you don't lack time, you just lack discipline. Okay? And that's something sometimes mm-hmm. people have to work on. We only got a few minutes left. What is your end game? I mean, where do you – well, first of all, you know, I have 4 daughters, so forgive me for asking. I'm not going to ask you this, but, you know, because some people want to know. I say, well, how old is this woman? And I'm not going to tell you – give me a specific – are you under 40?
Oh, of course, yes. I'm in my mid-30s.
So you're like my oldest daughter is 38, so you're around my daughter's age. Okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, I'm younger than that. Younger than that, for sure. Younger than that.
Okay. Right.
So my thing is, I'm kind of in the trend of the reason I've delegated so much and I put so many people in different places is as I'm eventually kind of segueing towards marriage and children, right? So I was engaged once in North Carolina, and I was engaged once here in Texas. And so, you know, I always tell people, like, opportunities come out in the sky all the time. It depends on how you walk them out, right?
Sure.
How do you walk out this opportunity? Go left or right, you change your whole life. So for me, I've already know I'm going to schedule this time soon to kind of go ahead and sit down and have kiddos and get married. And so for me, that's why I tell people, like, you can't have a business that relies on you to physically be there every day. There's no way in heck I want to be 6, 7, 8 months pregnant, sitting up in here doing the amount of work I do now. And even though people think, well, you don't do that much, I do a lot, right? But I am delegating all these different positions because by the time you get to me, it should be a well-oiled machine. And the reason I do the way that I do it now is because what I realized is I may be a visionary, I may be very spontaneous and do whatever I want, but 98% of the world runs on schedules and runs on systems. So you have to give people structure and tasks to do so that they can follow it, right? If I'm just winging it, people don't like that, right? Everybody's not a winger. They just can't wing to the next thing and do whatever. People like system and structures. And so the more I write down every day, I'm in here just dumping what I call a brain dump into the computer in a Asana, is different things and different tasks they should be doing daily. You know, outreach, talking to people, right? My massive belief is you want to get $1 million, you got to reach massive outreach levels, right? $200 people or 300 people can change big numbers in a business any month. And people don't look at it that way. They go, oh, my God, it's so far away, or I have to do all these little tasks. You have to think a little bit bigger and delegate a lot of these things.
Before we go, I want you to share what's your end game. You know, what is it? What's your end game when you, you know, in other words, what's your vision, your top-of-the-line vision? I'm sure you have it. So what's the top-of-the-line vision for you? Is it an income issue? Or is it more of what it is you're going to be doing? So what's your end game in all of this? You know, looking 20, 30 years out.
It's ever growing, ever changing. But I would say probably 20, 30 years out, I'm super invested in probably sending a bunch of kids through different certification programs. Because I don't know how college will look 20 years from now, but I have a feeling that there's just a generation of kids that we're gonna have to change the direction. We're gonna need trades. We're gonna need certifications. We're gonna need more medical people, right? And my hope is in the future to be able to kind of fund that because my business is making so much money. I can have some left over to fund it, and also, you know, have some more mastermind retreats in the future where we just get a bunch of entrepreneurs in a room together and talk, because I know what it's like to try to explain yourself to a group of people who are not entrepreneurs, and it'll completely deflate you and take all your energy from you. And I just experience that every day on the phone where people call and they're still trying to prove their ideal to their family before they even start. So I want to, like, make more people, like, you know, embody leadership position of, like, hey, let that go. Stop trying to prove it to your family first. Prove it to yourself.
Got it.
And that's probably through
Now I'm looking at your website, the Classy Climb blog. All those people, are those people you work with, or people that you took on a tour? It's like, it looks like about 30 or 40 people on that home page for the Classy Climb blog. Who are all those people?
So all those people flew from all over the nation, Charlotte and Florida and California and New York and Michigan. There are people who watch the channel. There are investors with me. I'll be doing that again this year, the second annual boat party and dinner. It's a great way for people to connect, business owners to connect with each other, and us have a great time on a boat and drink some beer.
Awesome.
I'm a big believer in having business with a little bit of a fellowship with people.
So before we go, give out your information where people can find your website and your YouTube. Well, you already gave your YouTube, Erica Williams. Just, I guess, Google that on YouTube, search on YouTube. Any other points of contact they want to go to get more information about what you guys are all about?
I would say Classy Climb blog. You know, if they just type in Classy Climb blog, they'll get a lot of my links, whether it's Instagram or, you know, Erica Williams at YouTube. I'm pretty much the number two Erica Williams on YouTube, so you can't miss me.
Great, great. I'm looking forward to going to check out some of that. Thank you so much, Erica Williams, for being on the show at Young Dynamo. Like I said, I like to feature young entrepreneurs who are doing things, feeding the narrative about what's out there. Much success to you, and with your success, please keep us posted on your success.
Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me come on. I appreciate it.
All righty. Take care now. All right. Bye-bye. So, man, I'm tired just listening to her. Woo-wee. That woman can go. I am telling you, she is just a dynamo, and just, I'm telling you, black girls rock. And, you know, I used to tell my daughters, you know, I got all daughters, right? And I used to tell them, you know, my oldest daughter, if you don't know, is a orange, you know, Charlene, you know, she's married, Lucas. My second daughter, you know, passed away a couple of years ago in a car crash. God rest her soul. She was a occupational therapist, had her master's. My oldest daughter had her master's as well as an RN. My third oldest is a pharmacist, and she's completing a 2-year residency up in Virginia. And the other one's a little bit younger than all those. She's not ready for any of this stuff. But I always say that, you know, black girls rock. And I say, when you guys take over the United States, take over the country, just remember your dad. Don't put me in a concentration camp, you know, because black girls are doing it, you know. And we need to have some black brothers and sisters. You heard this sister talking about. I didn't get into her personal stuff, but it sounded like, you know, that, you know, she's ready to transition into marriage and kids and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, listening to her and my daughters, I thank God my daughter found a young man to marry, and, you know, he's a business owner. But I would imagine that in Erica, she's going to, if she doesn't find somebody, she's going to have a challenge finding somebody to match, or, you know, her energy, because she just has so much energy, and I wish her all the best of luck. But one of the things that struck me about what she's doing is the multiple streams of income. And that's what gravitated me to wanting to interview her, because me and my wife Felicia are all about that. Okay, we have our side hustle is a job. She's a controller for an IT company. That's her side hustle. Our major hustle is real estate investing and financial services. And you say, you know, how does that go together? Well, let me tell you how it goes together. Okay, as you heard in the broadcast, that we're buying property around $30,000 a piece, and we found a bank to lend on 15% of that, okay? And so that means that 15% of $30,000, that's $4,500. And so, you know, one of the things I said, well, you know, we're going to use our own money, but it'd be nice to have some additional money to throw into the real estate. And so we partnered with a company called Financial Education Services that provides financial services for individuals. They have a platform of about 12 different products. One suite of products is credit repair, which a lot of people need right now because of what's going on. Because if you have a credit score, there are 43 million people that have a credit score above under 599, right? And if you're one of those people, then you need to reach out to us so we can help you with that, okay? My wife we just started this company about a couple of months, well, maybe about a month ago. And the company's been around since 2004. And her credit score increased almost 40 points in just 2 weeks, okay? So, you know, it's a great opportunity. Now, you say, why is this service important? Well, one of the things that in addition that in recommending and presenting this product to individuals and families, that obviously we earn income for, you know, the plans that we sell. Great plans. They really do a real good job. And so when we talked with the company and the business partner that brought us in, she said, well, how much money do you want to make? And I said, well, I want to buy one property every 3 months. And once again, you do the math, one property, $30,000, 15% down, that's $4,500. I said, so if I can earn an extra $1,500 a month, then after 3 months, I'd have $4,500 and I could buy a property. And so over the next 3 years, we'll acquire anywhere from 15 to 20 properties, earning about $150,000 a year. If I can't retire on that, something's wrong, right? And she laughed. She said, no, you're going to blow through that. I said, she's a retired aerospace engineer. She says, in 6 months to a year, you'll probably be making part-time $50,000 a year. I said, sign me up. And this product, I'm telling you, it delivers more than I ever expected. It's a great product. And I've never, my brand is also about financial planning, knowing who I am. That's the one. I've written 2 books. One is called Your Common Sense Guide to Personal Financial Planning. The other one is called God's Plans for Your Financial Success. And these books are available on Amazon. You know, you might want to hurry up because they're, you know, there's low on stock on those books. But anyway, so that's our strategy, is we have this stream of income that we're getting from the financial services that we offer to customers, okay, passive income, because we get commissions for selling it, obviously. We get paid for doing that, and then we get residual income as well. And then we throw that money into real estate. And get this, we're getting 15 to 20% on our money when we invest in real estate. Let that sink in for you. And think about, you know, where you're investing your money and what you're doing, okay? So if you want to join and be a part of this, then all you have to do, I'm going to give you 2 things to do. I'm going to give you a phone number, 404-272-4633. And I'll repeat that if you want to write it down, 404-272-4633. And here's what I want you to do. If you're interested in the credit, you know, in the financial services that we offer, just text CREDIT, C-R-E-D-I-T. Just text CREDIT. I'll know what to do. If you're interested in the real estate stuff, then all you got to do is text to that number, 404-272-4633. All you have to do is text RE for real estate. And then I'll know the information to send you. No obligation. If you're wanting to be in business or you want to just get your credit together, I'm your guy. If you want to get into real estate and learn how to do that like we're doing it, I'm your guy. Okay? So that ends this episode for today. I thank you so much for listening. We're looking for big things from this broadcast and what we're trying to do, trying to get the information out on how to help people in their financial lives, how to help them earn 15, 20% of their money. That's our mission right now, to help other people. And we're sharing it with every person, everybody we know, friends, relatives, colleagues, because here's what I don't want to happen. When 6 months, a year from down the road, and they see the things that we're moving and grooving to, and they come to us and say, hey, how are you doing that real estate? How are you doing that financial services? How are you, you know, acquiring these properties? How are you blinging? How are you able to work from your phone on the beach, which we did? You could work anywhere. I want to be able to say, oh, I did tell you about this opportunity, but, you know, you decided not to pursue it. But you know what? It's never too late. So we want to make sure that we're spreading the love, spreading the information. We're not trying to keep this all locked up, because sometimes as people, we just don't want to share stuff. You'd heard Erica say, I share this stuff with everybody because the pool is big. The ocean is big, okay? So it's, you know, when I say ocean, I'm talking about the opportunities are out there, and there's no dearth of people to get into it. Everybody can't do this, okay? If you're working a job right now, and, you know, what's your end game? How are you going to get out of it? Do you have a pension? Oh, you got a 401k? Well, guess what? You know, you got to deplete that. If you decide to retire, you got to start withdrawing from that. And so you got to gamble on how long you're going to live. So you got $500,000 in your 401k, and you need $50,000 to live on every year, then you got to take out $50,000, okay? You got to take out $50,000, and then you have to pay taxes on it, right? Because you got a deduction for putting it in there. You got to pay. Anyway, so all I'm saying is that think about your end game in terms of, you know, where you're going to end up. And I don't care if you're 25 or 65. What is your end game? I know people that are in their 70s that are still working, not because they want to, but because they have to. And I don't want to be in that camp. Okay? All right? So that ends the epistle for today. I just get passionate about this stuff because I believe in what we're doing. And if I didn't believe in what we were doing, I wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't invite anybody else to be a part of it either. So thank you so much for listening. Remember those numbers, 404-272-4633. I'm Dr. Charles Ross. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon again.